The epistle for the first Sunday after Easter is taken from the first epistle of St. John. Beloved, all that is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is there that overcomes the world if not he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came in water and in blood, Jesus Christ, not in water only, but in the water and in the blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness that Christ is the truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God which is greater, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the testimony of God in himself. Please stand for today's gospel, which is taken from that of St. John. At that time, when it was late that same day, the first of the week, though the doors where the disciples gathered had been closed for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced at the sight of the Lord. He therefore said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed upon them, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being closed, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Bring here thy finger, and see my hands, and bring here thy hand, and put it into my side. And be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen, and yet have believed." Many other signs also Jesus worked in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Thus are the words of today's gospel. Please be seated. Be not unbelieving, but believing. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On Easter Sunday morning, my dear faithful, our Lord rose glorious from the tomb. His body was transformed, filled with this bright light, which is called clarity. We saw a little glimpse of that light when he was transfigured on Mount Tabor. His face shone as the sun and his garments became white as snow. But there was only a very temporary vision. Now his whole body is diffusing this light, and it's his permanent state. His body becoming like a diamond that diffuses light, the glory of his soul being seen through his body. And what a glorious thing it must have been to behold our Lord in his resurrection. Moses in the Old Testament went up to Mount Sinai and he conversed with God there. And when he came down from the mountain, he was so filled by this presence of God that his face shone, and it shone so much that the Israelites couldn't even look at him. They had to take a veil and put it over his head. If that was the glory of Moses, what must have been the glory of our Lord? How beautiful to see this glory on the day of Easter. All of the wounds, all of the blood, even the spittle that had been hurled at our Lord's face, all of that gone now, and our Lord filled with this brightness. What a beautiful thing, the conqueror of sin and death. Death, I will be your death. Our Lord, he rose on Easter Sunday morning, and he appeared many times. That's what we've been looking at through this Easter octave. Each day of the week in the Mass, we've had a different apparition of our Lord during this time of his resurrection. He appeared to his apostles, to the holy women, to help them believe. We see today in the Gospel of today that not all did believe. Thomas, the apostle, wasn't there Easter Sunday when our Lord appeared. So 8 days later, today, he was in the upper room again, and he told the apostles, his fellow apostles, that he would not believe. Their testimony, which should have been enough for him, it wasn't enough. The fact that they were saying, yes, he really rose, that wasn't enough. He needed more. He needed, as he said, to see the wounds, to put his finger inside his hands, to put his hand in his side. That's the only thing that would entice him to believe. And so our Lord grants that. He does appear to him, and he tells St. Thomas, blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. Unfortunately, this disbelief, it wasn't limited just to St. Thomas. Even in our own time, we have Catholic bishops who say that our Lord never rose. These modernist bishops say that if you put a camera in the tomb, so it's filming what happened on Easter Sunday morning, they said that camera would have filmed nothing because our Lord didn't rise. The historical Christ, they call him, he didn't rise. But the Christ of faith, in the faith of the apostles, in their hearts, he rose again. And of course, this is complete rubbish. Our Lord truly did rise. We have to have faith in that. Blessed are ye who have not seen and have believed. This is fundamental, my dear faithful. We must believe in the resurrection of our Lord because it's the foundation of our whole faith. St. Paul tells us that. He says that if Christ didn't rise, if that's not true, then our entire faith is vain. It's all for nothing. It's all useless. The whole faith is undermined. And the reason he gives, he says that it's because if Christ didn't rise, then we're still in our sins. We have to understand that the passion of our Lord is what redeemed us. It's by dying that he made up for our sins. But the resurrection is the completion of that redemptive act. It's the completion of the redemption. He didn't need that to satisfy for sin. And yet it's integral to redemption because if he didn't rise again, it would give us the impression that he did not conquer, that sin overcame him, that death overcame him, that he wasn't the victor. So it was necessary for us that he rise again to show us, death, I will be your death. Death has no hold over him any longer. He is the victor. We need this to establish more firmly that he is truly God, as he said. He foretold that he would rise again. He told people that in his preaching. On the third day he would rise. He was claiming to be God, of course. We know that he is. But if he hadn't risen, we would all think, well, that claim was false. He's not God. So we need the resurrection to establish, to firmly found our faith. He is God. And the faith is true. All that he teaches is true. In fact, the resurrection is the strongest proof of our faith, that our Lord is God. It's the strongest proof. Because it requires divine power to bring someone back from the dead. And never was it seen that someone rose themselves from the dead. Others, like Elias, had risen dead people by praying to God. Our Lord, he rose other people by saying, I say to thee, arise. But now he raises himself from the dead. He made it clear that it was his power that did this. He said, I have power to lay down my life. I have power to be crucified. No one does that to me. I do it. I lay down my life. But he said also, I have power to take up my life again. I will give myself life again. I will rise from the dead. This resurrection, my dear faithful, it's the foundation of our faith. Our Lord is God, and so everything he says is true. St. Thomas, he doubts the resurrection. He wants clear evidence. I want to see those hands, and I want to put my finger in them. And that's unreasonable. But it's not unreasonable to want evidence, to consider the evidence. Because faith isn't just credulity. It's just not believing anything you hear. But after seeing that something is worthy of belief, faith doesn't demand any more and gives its assent. So we don't need to go to St. Thomas's to the degree that St. Thomas does, but it is helpful for us if we think for a moment in this time of Easter, well, what evidence is there for Christ's resurrection? Is my faith in Christ's resurrection, is it well-founded? Is this true? And we can say it is beyond any doubt. Look at the apostles and the evidence that they give, the testimony they give. The apostles based their entire preaching on the resurrection. And they weren't deceived in this. They weren't deceived. They didn't think that our Lord rose when he really didn't. Remember, the apostles were not ready to believe. They were not gullible. They were not credulous. In fact, it was the opposite. The apostles didn't believe. And our Lord had to rebuke them. So they weren't ready to believe anything. But there was enough evidence there. Our Lord came to them. He appeared to them. He showed them, I'm not just a ghost. I'm a real body. You can touch me. He ate with them. He talked with them. He did this for 40 days. So they weren't deceived. He was there, really risen from the dead. And they didn't lie either. It's not as though they told the world, he rose. He really did rise from the dead. He's alive. But it was false. They didn't do that either. A lie that great, any lie, needs a motive. No one tells a lie just to tell a lie. So would the apostles have had a motive? No, they didn't. In fact, we find the opposite to be true. What did they get for preaching our Lord's resurrection? They had a life of toil, they suffered, and they were martyred because they preached our Lord who died and rose from the dead. That's what they got from it. There was no motive behind lying. So we know they weren't deceived, and we know they didn't lie. So we can believe their testimony. But besides the apostles, we have many, many others who witnessed our Lord's resurrection. Maybe if there was one or two that saw him once or twice, we could say, well, they drink a little Kool-Aid and they're a little bit, so they might have it wrong. But it wasn't the case. The 12 apostles saw him. The holy women saw him. Many of the disciples saw him. St. Paul tells us that 500 people saw him at once. Were all of those people deceived? Certainly not. And a final piece of evidence we can take are our Lord's enemies themselves. The chief priests and the Pharisees were very worried. They knew our Lord foretold that he would rise again from the dead, and so they put soldiers at the tomb to guard it. Those soldiers, they became witnesses of the resurrection. They felt the earthquake. They saw the angel. They were struck as dead men, and they ran back to the chief priests and said, "This is what we saw." And what do the chief priests do? They don't go to Pilate and say, "Your soldiers are telling lies. They say that there was a big earthquake and an angel and da-da-da-da." No, they are afraid. They tell the soldiers, well, just tell everyone that you fell asleep and that the apostles came and stole his body. Just tell them that. Lie. How absurd. We see just in their fear that they believed. They believe he really rose. And what's funny too, St. Augustine ridicules them. They produce sleeping witnesses. We were asleep and this is what we saw. How ridiculous. So we have plenty of evidence, my dear faithful, that our Lord, he truly rose, and he is therefore truly God, and this is the foundation of our faith. And we need this. St. John tells us in the epistle that it's faith that gives us victory. The victory over the world is through faith. We need that faith to keep fighting. That faith gives us the encouragement we need to go through the trials of this life because we believe as our Lord rose, we will rise. That transformed faith transformed St. Thomas. Once he said, "My Lord and my God," that beautiful profession of faith, what do we see him do? He goes out, toils in India for years, and is martyred for our Lord, a spear being driven through him. That's what he endured because of his faith. His faith gave him the victory. And we need that same faith. Faith helps us realize, yes, we do have to suffer like our Lord did. But that suffering has a purpose. Through that suffering, we arrive at the glorious resurrection. Our Lord told the disciples of Emmaus, "Ought not Christ have to suffer these things and so enter his glory?" And as that's the pattern for our Lord, the head of the mystical body, it's the pattern for us too. Yes, we have to suffer. But if we suffer like Catholics, it's not without a point. These trials that we have to go through, I certainly don't want to downplay them. Life can be very difficult. But if we put it into focus with faith, we realize all of these sufferings are momentary. It helps us persevere. We see, like St. Paul says, they work an eternal weight of glory. These little trials we have to go through, they have great recompense in heaven. The dividends are very good. We will have glory with our Lord in heaven. My dear faithful, let's pray for more faith. That faith that St. Thomas lacked, but then gained. Let's ask for the same thing. We too lack faith. We believe in the resurrection, thank God, but we need more faith. This fact that's well established, let's pray for faith in it so that we too can persevere in these trials and then share in our Lord's glorious resurrection in heaven. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.